series on selfie. How many of you are getting something out of this series? Well, today, if you're not, this message will absolutely transform your life. If nothing spoke to you today, it's going to transform your life. It absolutely will transform your life. Today, we're actually going to turn a corner in this series. I'm going to spend the first half of my message talking about self-image and what destroys your self-image. Then the rest of this series, halfway through my message, through the rest of this series, we're going to talk about how to restore your self-image, how to restore. Now, before I go any further, I just want to remind you, the Bible says that you were made, Genesis 1:26, you were made in the image and likeness of who? Of God. Everybody say, I'm made like God. Listen, God made you in His image. Now, when we think about man and mankind, can I just assure you this morning that you were created in the image and likeness of God, which means you are absolutely beautifully and wonderfully made. You are absolutely. Now, if you're a woman, that means a lot to you. If you're a dude and you hear that you're beautifully and wonderfully made, you're kind of like weirded out by it. I'm with you. You're studly and awesomely made. All right, studly and awesomely. That's just a whole lot better for dudes, you know what I mean? But the truth of the matter is we are made in that image. God made us that way. And what we deal with most of the times in our life is that we feel like we are absolutely not the way God made us. We absolutely view ourselves in a different light than the way God views us. Now, it's one thing for you to view yourself differently. It's another for you to realize what it does to you and what it does to your life. Because let me just assure you of this. You are paying a spiritual price for how you view yourself. You really are. You really are. See, because the truth of the matter is, it is impossible. Let me say it again, because y'all didn't hear it. It is impossible to receive everything that God has for you when you have a very distorted view of yourself. It is impossible. You remember the last couple weeks we talked about Numbers 13, 31 through 33, how the children of Israel did not go into the promised land because they saw themselves as grasshopper. How many of you remember David Carradine? How many of you don't know who David Carradine is? You didn't miss anything. Didn't miss a thing, all right? But listen, here's the truth. The truth of the matter is if you view yourself as defeated, you will live defeated. If you view yourself as never having enough, you'll never have enough. If you view yourself as constantly a victim, guess what you're going to be? You're going to constantly be a victim. How you view yourself has more to do with what God can do in your life than actually what you would ever think. Think about it just in light of the children of Israel. The children of Israel, do you remember the story? God brought them out of the land of Egypt, defeated the most powerful military force on the planet at that time, brought them out with all these miracles, signs, and wonders, and they got in the desert and started complaining about God and what God had done. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Now, the kicker to the whole story is that the Bible tells us God wanted to bring them into the promised land, but they, because of their mindset and their view of themselves, God couldn't do many things in their life. Let me show you an example of that. If you got your Bible, and I would encourage you to read this whole chapter some point in time. Psalm 78 talks about all that God had done in the children of Israel's life. Here it is, 78:40. It says, how often they provoked him, talking about God, provoked him in the wilderness, grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again, they did what? Tempted. Come on, everybody say it loud. They tempted God, and what did they do? Who limited God? Come on, say it loud. Say, they limited. You've got to realize that God wants to do big things. He wanted to do big things in the children of Israel's life, but they, because of their mindset, because of how they viewed themselves, they limited God. It wasn't that God is limited, they limited God. And it's so powerful whenever we start talking to people, when I start talking to people, oftentimes the conversation goes this way. Why didn't God? Why didn't God? Why didn't God heal my family member? Why didn't God provide that blessing? Why didn't God show up over here? Why didn't God? It's always the blame and the focus is always, it's always God. It's always God. I imagine if the children of Israel were walking the planet today, they would have said, why didn't God bring us into the promised land? Can I get a witness? When really, why didn't they believe God would bring them into the promised land? They limited God. It is possible for us to have a negative self-image of ourselves and limit God in our life. I don't know about you, but here's where I'm at. I'm to a place in my life where I never want me to hinder anything that God has for me in my life. I want to receive everything that God has for me. Am I the only one? I got three, four. Can I get a four, four, five, 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 six, seven? Oh, it's going up all over the place, praise God. No, hey, listen, I'd be a terrible auctioneer. Terrible. But hey, here's the truth, though. The truth of the matter is we never want to limit God. I know I don't. I'm sure you don't. We don't want to limit God. So because of that, listen, before we can blame God, before we can look to God, we have to look to ourselves and we have to change some things in our own life and in our own walk and in our own mindset and our own way of dealing with things. Y'all believe that? All right? So with that being said, let me show you another great example of this would be Jesus. Whenever he was going into his hometown, he got into his hometown, and when he got there, he was expecting to do a great many things. But the Bible tells us this. Now, he could not do mighty works there except lay hands on a few sick people and do what? And heal them. Why? Why? You might ask. Here we go. Look at it right here. And he marveled because of their... Now imagine this. How many of you know Jesus is God? Right. All right. Here is God in the flesh. His potential is limitless. Would you agree with that? But watch. You can serve a limitless God, but you put limits on him. That's what they did. They refused to believe that Jesus could touch them, heal them, deliver them. And because of that, the Bible says he went around teaching. Why? Because that's what you do when people don't believe. You teach. That's the only alternative he had. He went about teaching. Now check this out. Here's the bottom line of what I'm trying to say. I want you to see this. Well, as soon as I get back there, look at this right here. It is possible to serve an all-powerful God, but not see his power in our lives because of negative self-image. It is possible. It is possible for you to live your whole life with a negative self-image and be saved, but not receive the power of God in your life. It is possible, absolutely possible. And I will dare say that a lot of people, not y'all because y'all are here today, praise God, but a lot of people don't see God moving in their life because of a negative self-image, not because God isn't able. I love Ephesians 3:19. For God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. The Amplified says it this way. For God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything you could think, do, ask, or imagine. How many of you know that's big time? I mean, God doesn't blow you away. I mean, if you can imagine it, God said, you ain't even scratching the surface as to what I can do in your world. That's the kind of God we serve. But listen to the rest of it. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything we think, do, ask, or imagine according to the power that works in us. In us. We have to have a power of belief working in us to see the power of God demonstrated in our lives. And if we never address it, we'll always just blame God. Very, very seldom, very, matter of fact, never have I talked to someone who was believing for something and them say, you know what, I was believing for this and it didn't happen and maybe I didn't believe right, maybe I wasn't standing on the right thing, maybe I just didn't do it right, but it didn't work for me. 95, 100 times out of 100, people will say, I was believing, I was standing, I was doing this and I was doing that, and God didn't. As if they played no part. And I believe that does great damage to the kingdom and great damage to people's faith and great damage to who God is. Because I believe God is able, and he will. If we'll line up our hearts and we'll line up our heads and we'll get moving in the right direction, I believe that the God that we serve will do big things in our lives. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I believe he is no respecter of any person, and he will absolutely move in our life. So now, we've got to begin to diagnose or put our finger on things that lower our self-image or bring us down to where we can't believe God for more. What are things that really put a lid of limitation on our ability to receive from God? And I'm going to give you three. There are probably hundreds of these. I'm going to give you three things that I know we can talk about real quick here and really hammer away at. All right? So think about it this way. Number one, I talked about this one big time, comparing ourselves. When you compare yourself to someone else, can I assure you, you are actually limiting God in your life. Every time. And again, I hammered this home last week, but I just can't help but emphasize it enough. When you look at someone else's life and say, man, you know, they got it all going on and I wish I was like and I wish I could be, you actually are moving towards what's called a spirit of jealousy or envy. You wish you could be somebody else. But you are absolutely uniquely made. You are not like them. You don't have the same set of skills. You don't have the same abilities. You're not like them. So don't compare yourself to them. Or we'll look at people less than us. Be like, boy, man, look at them. I'm so glad I'm not them. And that is actually a spirit of pride that's lifting you up above someone else. So either way, when you start comparing yourself to other people, you either try and move yourself above people or below people, and either way is a trap of the enemy because both are harmful to your spiritual walk. And both of them limit God in your life. Both of them. Both of them. Think about it this way. How many of you have ever seen someone in your life that looks like somebody else? But how many of you know they're not that person? Even identical twins. You can get identical twins standing beside each other, but you can tell there's slight differences. There are over 7 billion people on the planet, 7 billion people, and no one individual is the same. And can I say that about your spiritual walk? There are 7 billion people, and there's no walk exactly the same. If you try and do some of the stuff I do, you will probably not get away with it. If you say some of the stuff I say, you probably won't, it won't work for you. Right? Why? Because we're all different. We're all different. And God designed us that way. Different callings, different things. And it's okay. So never compare yourself. Here's another one. Our past. Our past will give us a negative self-image. Just like comparing ourselves. When you compare yourself, it says I'm less than or I'm more than. Well, when you look at your past, it will always tell you you're less than. Never tell you you're more than. Think about how many of you, be honest, got some closets? How many of you are happy and you share them everywhere you go? If you do, something's wrong with you. Hello? No, we've all got things in our past that we're probably not exactly thrilled about. We all do. Everybody in here does. Some are worse than others in our eyes. You know, my skeletons are not your skeletons, but here's the truth. If I look to my past and I look at my life, what will it do? It will ultimately, I will always look at my past and all the limitations it put on me. It will never tell me all the great things that God's trying to do in my life. It will never. My past is always looking down. Always. Now, it takes some maturity to look back on your past and say, you know what? The only thing my past is good for is to learn from it. And to say, you know what? I don't want to repeat those mistakes. But here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to allow my past to invade my present and poison my future. Y'all get that? I'm not going to let my past invade my present. Just not going to. Okay, I have a failed marriage. Okay, so what? I don't. I'm just saying. if that's your past. I gotta watch what I say up here. I've struggled with this sin. Okay, I've had this in my past. Okay, I didn't grow up in the right neighborhood. Okay, I this. Okay, I that. We could talk all about your past, but don't allow those things to poison your present and poison your future. Praise God. Kick the past to the past. Learn from it, of course, but don't allow it to become your identity. I met people that their past is their identity. I mean, this stuff happened 50 years ago and they're still living in it. Still living in it. Can't move beyond it. Can't move it. Their mind is stuck way back then. Way back then. How many of you know God doesn't want you to live that way? It'll destroy your self-identity. Let's talk about the next one, our future. Our future. Sometimes I think your future can actually destroy your identity. It can destroy who you are in Christ. You say, how is that possible? Well, let's talk to the young people now. If you're 41 and younger, ask me how I come up with that number. If you're 41 and you're young, but if you're 41 and younger, you may get into the habit of looking at other people, and they may, in your world, seem like they're further down the road than you. Oh man, look, they got the car, they got the wife, they got the house, they got the this, they got the that. They got all this going on, and look at me, I'm still here. Man, when am I ever going to? Why am I never going to? Well, I just don't ever think it'll be that way for me. And that becomes your identity. What you're actually doing is you're telling God, God, you can't use the right now to bless me and move me forward. You're actually cutting God out of the equation. Like I told you, and I'll say it again, no one person is just like another person in their walk of life. No one person. You can look at it and you could be 22, 23, 24 years old. Somebody got the great job and somebody got this and somebody got that. And you can look at that and go, well, my life's over. I've talked to people who are not married by 25 and they think, well, I just guess I'm going to be single all my life. 25? Thank God you ain't married. What's wrong with you? There are people that got married at 19 years old that were like, I wish I'd have had 5 years to have fun. I'm done. Come on, how many of you hear what I'm saying though? You can. And listen, young people, don't get into that trap. Be and know this about your future, that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter, praise God. Right? Okay, some of you are more seasoned, 41 and older. And sometimes your future can tear your identity up. You can look at your future and say, well, I guess I'm just going to be a Chrysler worker. Well, I guess I'm just going to be this. Well, I guess I'm just going to be that. Guess I'm just going to be a mailman. Where's mailman? I guess I'm just going to be whatever. You know what I mean? And sometimes if you're not careful, you'll allow that to become your identity, and you'll look to your future and say, well, I guess I'm just going to do that all the rest of my life. And you know what? There's really no great future for me. Man, don't buy into the lie of that. Because you buy into the lie of that, you are going to die a sick, miserable person. I am more convinced of this, that people die not because they get old, but because they lose hope in the future. I am convinced of that. They lose hope in the future. Listen, my opinion is your life and your walk with God, every day should be a new day. Every day should be a new adventure in faith and in Christ. Every day until you go home to be with the Lord, every day you're to wake up, believe God for bigger, believe God for better, move forward in your faith, watch things grow, be a blessing to your kids, grandkids, great-grand, live as long as you can, and what's going to help you live is some hope in your heart that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. Praise God. Amen? I believe that. Don't allow your retirement to be your death sentence. Well, I guess I'm retired. I said, I'm just going to sit here and rock away on the porch. You rock away, you'll be dead. You need to have a hope. You need to have a purpose. You need to have a future, praise God, and never give up on it. Amen? Listen, I am convinced that I have more vision in me for the church and for my life than I have lifetime to live it. So there should never be a time where I'm not doing something moving forward. Amen? Amen. Keep that, man. That'll keep you moving. Keep you moving. Keep you moving in faith. Always. Those things right there will absolutely destroy your self-identity if you're not careful. Do not allow them. Think about it. Kentucky Fried Chicken, he didn't start that plate. Colonel Sanders was 65 years old before he fried up chicken, man. Y'all don't like chicken? I'm talking like deep fried chicken. We can't even deep fry at my house. It's a terrible thing. It's like purgatory. But Michelle, it stinks up the house. I love it when she leaves. We fry up. Because why? I like cast iron skillets. I like lard. It's lubrication. My grandma ate lard all of her life, lived to be 80-something years old. So tell me whatever. I'm moving on. But the bottom line is, Colonel Sanders at 65 can start frying up chicken, and he did all right, praise God. You should never give up on life, amen? Amen, 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 praise God. Oh, praise God, that's so good. I just like that. I'm going to get this message myself. This is good, this is good. Some effects. Let me show you. Maybe you say, no, I don't battle any of those. If you have any of these symptoms, you probably have a damaged self-image, all right? Here it is. These are some things that you may struggle with if you have a destructive self-image. Here it is. Isolation. You like to be all by yourself all the time. I'm not talking about taking a vacation. I'm not talking about getting away for a week. I'm talking about when you live and you're the cat lady. You live all by yourself and no one ever comes over. You have no social life and no friends. You actually are bothered that you had to come to church. You're watching online right now. You need to get out of the house, praise God. Because isolation will absolutely rob you of your self-identity. It will. How about this? Depression? You'll struggle with that. If you struggle with any of these, you need to be plugged into the rest of my message in next week. But inferiority? How about this? Negativism? Constantly negative? You know? Debbie Downer, always? You know, I got $1 million. Yeah, I got to pay taxes. Shut up. How about this? Fear of change? How about this? Fear of failure? Here's the truth. A constant state of unbelief and lack of faith. Constant state of unbelief. Constantly moving from negative to negative to negative. Those are an indication. You say, well, I just don't believe that. Didn't I read to you what the Bible says that the children of Israel did? They had a complete lack of faith. Not because their God wasn't able. Their God was able. They had a complete lack of faith because how they viewed themselves. They were slaves, and they saw themselves that way. And because of that, they could not receive the promises of God. Come on, you hear me this morning? All right, here we go. So now, I told you I'm turning the corner on this series. So how do we begin to restore our self-image? How do we begin? And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to spend the rest of my message on this one point because it's that important. This one point is where we start. Next week, I'm going to show you how to finish. But this one point. How many? One. Is it that important? Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, now, before I even go there, take your right hand and bring it up. Take your left hand and bring it up. Place it on your ears and say this with me. Say, the problem is between these. You believe that? Oh, it is. It is. It is. Here he goes. You ready? If you are going to live a life that God has for you and begin to rebuild your self-image, you have to control your thought life. Or let me translate it. Charlie Riley, Amplified Bible, would say it this way. You got to win the war between your ears. It's pretty blunt, huh? You got to win the war between your ears. If you can't win that war, you are not going to win in life. You are not going to win in a spiritual walk. You are not going to win when you need to believe God for big things. You're not going to win. You have to win the war between your ears. One of the things that whenever I get to heaven, I want to ask God this. This is probably on my all-time greatest questions. And I'm so glad I'm preaching this message after we had the question and answers, because someone would have asked me this. on the real side of it, though, I've often wondered why God allows, and I'm sure you probably have too, why does God allow the enemy to place thoughts in your mind even after you're born again? Do you think that's a powerful question? How many of you have thoughts that you know aren't your thoughts? They just pop into your head. Everybody does. I mean, I was thinking about it this way. What would happen if every day you walked into work and on a screen your thought life was playing? How many of you would have jobs after one day? You probably wouldn't have a job. You ought to thank God that no one has a screen playing your thought life. I mean, you probably wouldn't be married. Your kids would have ran. Yeah, because you're like, now just behave. And the thought comes, and then it shows you on the screen choking them and shaking them. Come on, am I right? Right? And then your little kid has a screen. And then you shake harder because you see what his thought. And this thing just feeds itself. Can I get a witness in here, man? I'm telling you, your thought life is where the issues are, man. Your thought life is where it's all at. If you can win between your ears, you can win in every area of your life. And let me just say it this way. The enemy has become a master after 6,000 years of human history, for sure. We know that the enemy is a master at planting thoughts so he can watch reactions in people's life. He will plant a thought in you, and he will wait and see what you do and wait and see how you respond. And if he sees that that thought is effective, he's going to plant it again. He's going to plant it again. He's going to plant it again. And all to break you down and tear you down and to bring you down from the image which God has made you to be. You can look at yourself in the mirror and go, I don't see anything good about it. That's not the way God sees you. But between your ears, that's the way you see you. Between your ears, you see God as well. He's like casino Jesus. You put a quarter in, pull the lever. If you get 3 sevens, he answers your prayer. How do I know 3 sevens? Don't even ask. Here's the truth, though. We've got to know. For the record, I don't gamble. All right, someone say, Pastor Charlie must be down in Anderson. No, I am not. Not in Anderson, praise God. I'm in South Bend. Just kidding. That's a joke. I'm not. Ask Michelle. First time, I've only been to a casino, true story. I'm going way off where I'm going, but I didn't share this with any other service. Maybe there's a reason. But I've been to one casino in my life, and I was 21 years old. We were traveling from Lake Charles, Louisiana. I was coming home to Florida. And Michelle and I were like, we've never been in one, and we'd like to check it out. So we pulled in. I don't know if we were saved or not, truly irrelevant. But we walked in there. They carted me every floor. They carted me. I'm just walking around, and they keep carding me. I was like, well, this isn't for me, obviously. Praise God. But I wanted to check it out. Well, I was curious. I think I spent $5. And let me just assure you of this. They are not paying for the lights with their money. All right, I'm done. Control your thought life. See, my thought just, woo, squirrel. See how fast it happens? You got to control your thought life. I'm back, praise God. You've got to control your thought life. You got to control your thought life. If not, you will lose or embarrass yourself. All right, no, I don't get embarrassed. Here, check this out. Let me just say it this way. Let me show you a couple things in the Bible about it. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 talks in detail about it. Now, something I want you to see this in the Word, okay? I want you to see this. And what I want you to see, I want you to understand, and if you're taking notes, write this down. Every seed brings a harvest. Every seed brings a harvest. Every thought is a seed. Y'all get that? Every thought is a seed, and every seed brings a harvest. If you're not getting the harvest in your life that you desire, you don't yell at the harvest. You go back to the seed. You go back to what seed were you planting that brought that into your life that you're harvesting now? Come on, y'all get it? Let me show you how it works progressively in the Bible. For we do not walk in the flesh, or I'm sorry, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. All right? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Strongholds. Everybody say it real loud. Say strongholds. Strongholds. All right? And listen to this. And it goes on. Casting down, next word, help me out. Arguments. Casting down arguments. In every high thing, there's the third high thing, that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, everybody check this out. You remember back, maybe some of y'all, if you're 41, you know this. You remember back when they had 33s and you played them backwards? I never did it, but I heard about it. But actually, I did do it. And you can't make out nothing they're saying. They said, anyway, all right, check it out. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to take this verse and we're going to break it down backwards. And as we break it down backwards, I want you to see how thoughts gain power in your life. All right? So there are four words we're going to key on. All right? So look at it. Look at where it starts. Bringing every thought. Everybody say a thought. Thought. Now look at it as we back it up. It says, in every high thing. Everybody say a high thing. High. Okay, so we got a thought, and then we got a high thing. And then the next word is casting down arguments. Come on, everybody say argument. Argument. So there's the third. So we've got a thought leading to a high thing. Come on, work with me. High thing leading to a argument. Now watch, back it up one more verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds. Listen to this. Here's how it works in your life, in your walk with God, in your mind. You've got to understand that it all starts with a thought. The thought, when it's allowed to stay, becomes a high thing. No thought is neutral. No thought is neutral. Whatever thought that comes into your mind, as soon as it comes in, it desires to grow. And what we don't recognize is that if we allow it to grow, it moves up a level and it becomes a high thing. High thing. And then if we allow the high thing, we think about it, we meditate on it, we grow it. It's growing on the inside of us. Then it becomes an argument. And what you begin to do with the argument is you begin to validate it and support it by reason. And then after you support it and validate it, it becomes a stronghold. I'll show you a perfect example in my life. Talking to my father. My father came and lived with us for 5 months. Before he passed away. And when he came and started living with us, he was depressed and just battles these things. And I would tell him, I said, Dad, you don't have to be depressed. He said, no, yes, I do. I said, no, Dad, you don't have to be depressed. He goes, oh, yeah, I take medicine for it. Oh, well, that justifies it. I said, Dad, no, 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 Dad. He goes, no, you. Here's what you don't know. You haven't lived long enough to know this, son. What's that? Well, we're Rileys. We're all crazy. I said, no, Dad. You crazy. We ain't all crazy, though. You're depressed. We ain't all depressed. But you're making me. You're rubbing up on me. I'm picking it up. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It's a stronghold. In his mind, because his last name was Riley, he was depressed. And it was just part of the genetic makeup of the Riley family to be depressed. And here's what I said, no, Dad, it's a choice. I know in our culture, they don't even talk that way anymore. But here's the truth. Your actions are a choice. Your thoughts are a choice, praise God. They are a choice. They are a choice. Amen. You can think about what you want to think about. You can be what you want to be. Yes, you can. It starts with your thought life. And my dad died with the idea that he was supposed to be depressed all of his life. He just died with that. He couldn't shake the idea loose of that stronghold. See, but here's the deal. What would have happened if when it became a thought, he would have said, you know what? I'm not going to meditate or think about that thought. That thought has to leave in Jesus' name. What would have happened? It would have killed that thing, that seed, and there would have been no harvest. But instead, he allowed a thought to become a high thing. The high thing stayed there long enough, it became an argument to the point that he's justifying it, till it became a stronghold in his mind. And now the problem is between his ears so deep, you can pray over him, you can cast the devil out of him, you can do whatever you want to do to him, but the truth of the matter is, he limited God in his own mind, and because of that, it tied the hands of God. Amen? We, as the people of God, have got to understand that my own inability to recognize what God has for me can limit God. Absolutely every time. The problem is between your ears. If you're not receiving what God has for you, if you're battling these things, I promise you, it is between your ears. It is between your ears. You have got to get the confusion. You've got to get your mind in the right place so that God can do big things in your life. Somebody say amen to that. Praise God. All right? Let me show you one more thing, and then we'll close here in a couple hours. All right? Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, if you got your Bible, or you can watch it up on the screen. How many of you ever heard the armor of God? All right, listen, do you guys think that God was really saying in this verse, you think God was wanting us to do the discount, double check, buckle up? How many of you don't even know what I just said? How many of you don't know what I said? That's football. Come on, Green Bay Packers, what's the quarterback's name? Aaron Rodgers, discount, double check. Never mind. How many of you know what I'm saying? That makes me feel a whole lot better. Okay, here we go. You ready? Here we go. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the who? Of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Watch this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of what? God. You know, God's not asking us to do the discount double check. Well, let me go this way. God's not asking you to be a WWE wrestler and put on all this armor physically. How many of y'all know that? All right? He's saying these mindsets should be about your mind all the time. This is a mindset. This is between your ears. If you're going to win the war between your ears, you got to put on the armor of God. How do you do it? He explains it. Here we go. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist, not your physical waist, your mind with what? Truth. You're going to have to put truth into your mind. Remember what Jesus said, my word is truth. You got to have the word of God going on in your mind. It roots out evil. It roots out lies. Amen? Look at it. It goes on. Gird your mind with truth. Having put on the breastplate of. That's a mindset. How many of you are righteous in the eyes of God this morning? All right, I'm going to have to preach in this service too about righteousness. How many of you know Jesus died? He became sin that you might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. Man, you are righteous. Pastor Charlie, but I jacked up this morning. I know. Jesus done washed it away, forgave you. He washed away. It's called grace. No one ever measures up. But Jesus measured up for us, and we put our faith and our trust in him. And because we put our faith and our trust in him, our faith is accounted as righteousness. Man, that's good, huh? That's good. Your faith is righteousness. You are righteous in the eyes of God. Pastor Charlie, I don't always act righteous. I know. But you claiming I'm unrighteous isn't going to help you become more righteous. Mm-hmm. Girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. My mind should be in peace all the time. I walk in peace. I live in peace. My mind is peaceful. Mm-hmm. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the what? Wicked one. And the helmet of what? Salvation. And the sword of the Spirit. Notice these are conditions between the ears. The shield of faith. With faith, I'm believing God. I'm believing God. My mind is always in the proper position of believing God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The shield of faith. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of what? The word of God. The word of God. And let me show you how this works. How many of you have problems with your mind just running constantly? If you're a woman, you ought to raise your hand. Women are notorious. But even dudes, come on, dudes. Huh? Come on. Our minds just run. Just run. Run. And oftentimes, we don't know how to shut it down. I'm going to show you a trick real quick here. You ready? You got to do exactly what I say. Do exactly what I say. In your mind, count from 1 to 20. Ready? Go. Say your name out loud. 3 people did it. Praise God. I'm glad you can follow. All right, here we go. In your mind, count from 1 to 20. Ready, go. Say your name out loud. All right, now, listen. Did you stop counting to say your name? Yes. The answer is yes. If you didn't, you're freaking. I don't know how to help you. But if you... All right? But listen, here's the truth. You had to stop counting to say your name. Principle being this. God has hardwired you. So you have a tool to control your thought life. And that is your mouth. You can take control of your thoughts by using your mouth to control it. So here's what you do. When the enemy attacks you with the thought, you take and turn that thought into something you're going to say, reverse it, and claim the promise of God. I've said a lot, but let me just show you how it works. The enemy tells you you're depressed. The very fact that he's telling you you're depressed, he's a liar, tells you where you need to attack. Then you have to say, take that thought captive, and say out of your mouth, I refuse to be depressed. For God has not given me depression. God has not given me any of that. He's given me power, love, and a sound mind. Yeah, yeah. That the joy of the Lord is my strength. See, that takes that thought, kicks that out, replaces it with the proper thing that God has for your life. That's how you get the promises of God into your life. Say maybe possibly you're struggling financially, and we're not denying the reality of, you know, you got too much month for not enough money. We're not denying that. But thinking about, oh, we're just broke, we're just broke, we're just broke, we're just broke. How many of you know that ain't helping nobody? No, put you into a fit and it'll destroy your self-image. So how do you take and you turn it? Here's how you turn it. Say, you know what? Things aren't that great, but here's what we do know. God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We're going to believe God that God's going to bring us up out of this thing. And our best days are yet still ahead of us, praise God. Come on, y'all hearing me? Maybe you're, amen, you can clap, praise God. Maybe you have a twitch in your back because you're young, 41. You have a twitch all of a sudden and you know, immediately in your mind, you start thinking, oh, I've got cancer. I got a kidney stone. I got a something. I don't even know what this is. They don't even know what this is. There ain't even names. So you go on the web and you do a search on pains in the back. How many of you know you got problems now? They got you die. you are dead. You just, come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? You done, yeah, I better go I better write the obit. Better write that, baby. Come on, you know it. That's where your mind goes. You got to shut that train down. Every seed brings a harvest. Every seed brings a harvest. You got to stop that thing and say, no, 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 no. No. I come against the pain in my back. By his stripes, I am healed. And I command this, whatever this is, maybe it's gas. You thought you were dying and it's gas. You know? Relieve the pressure, everybody's happy. Well, not everybody, but you are. You know what I'm saying? Come on, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, that you've got to bring the, we got to be the only church in America that talks about stuff like that, praise God. That's real stuff, though. I'm going to say that again. That's real stuff. Yeah. See, but you've got to know that your mind, if that seed is allowed to stay, you'll just run that thing and you'll run yourself right into a ditch. Next thing you know, you're defeated, you're sick, you're dying, and it's not that God can't touch you. It's just you've limited him in his ability to touch you because you can't break the bonds off of your own mind. How many of you know you got to win the battle between the mind, praise God. Got to win the battle between your mind. I'll show you a perfect example of this, and then I'm done. Michael and I were playing. Michael was probably 4, 5, 6 years old, maybe even a little bit older than that. I don't remember. But anybody remember that show or that game Battleship? I'm not talking about electronic. I'm talking about the real plugs, you know? So Mike and I are playing. We're playing one night, and we're sitting there, and we're going back and forth. And homeboy is tearing me up. I'm tearing me up, and I can't find one of his ships. And he's sunk like 3 of mine. I think there's 5 on the game or something like that. And he's sunk like 3 of mine. He's got 2 left. One of them's my little guy. So once he finds it, it's over. You know, and I'm just like, what is going on? So I thought about it, and I said, I'm going to call out a number that I've already called out. I call out a number. He goes, you hit me. I'm like, Mike, are you moving your ships? Seriously. He goes, well, yeah. like dumb dad, you should move yours. I'm like, are you serious? I said, Mike, you got to keep the ships stationary. You can't move them all around. He goes, oh. And I thought about it, and we continued to play the game. But Michael has a problem with wanting to win all the time. But whatever. I don't know where he gets it. But yeah. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. I went to bed that night. The next day, I don't know what I was thinking about. But the thought popped into my head of that's how we should do with the enemy. That's so how we should do with the enemy. See, when the enemy bombs us with a thought and you react a certain way, he knows that worked. That worked. And guess what he's going to do again? He's going to bomb you again with that thought. Because he knows. He knows every time you go to Walmart, if somebody pulls in your parking spot, you flip them off like Christians. You know? And God forbid it be Pastor Charlie, because then it's like we were worshiping. Worshiping. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hey, we're waving. Come on. You know that's how it works. No, seriously, though. If he knows that, guess what? He's going to make sure he does everything he can to set things up and manipulate things so that you get caught up in the same situation so he can bomb you. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying today? You've got to know. You've got to know that's how he set you up. And when he sets you up like that, you've got to know, I got to move my ship. I've got to move myself. Because if I don't move myself, I'm going to have to go through this over and over and over and over and over again until I defeat this thing in my own head. Come on, you know that's true, right? So you've got to understand, if you're going to win the war, you got to start between your ears. If you can win it in your head, you can win it in your life. I promise you. You got to win it in your life. Don't look at your life and go, it's a wreck, and not think that you can think the same way you thought and get a different result. Doesn't work that way. If you change anything, change your mind. You know, the Bible says to repent and be converted. That's what changing your mind is. You're repenting. You're changing the way you think. All right? So what is the area of your life that is not where it should be? Don't look at your life and go, wow, that's just terrible. No, go, what am I thinking about in that area? If I can change my thinking, I can change the way I'm living in that area. And I promise you will. God is no respecter of person. Do you believe that this morning?